to Ephesians 5, if you would, this morning in your Bibles. I want to invite you Wednesday night, where we're going to be at camp with the children over in Hillmont, but we're going to have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study there. Hillmont has a nice auditorium. It's air-conditioned. It has a stage. It's set up about like our auditorium here. So invite you to come out for that. Miss Grace, who you guys know her, whether you know her or not, she's our interpreter. Her father, Rob Finley, is a doctor in ministry. Is that right? You don't know? He's well studied, huh? Doctorate in theology, is a published author, and he's going to be in town, so he was willing to speak to us Wednesday night while he's going to be in town. So that's going to be a very, very special night. You don't want to miss that. You want to hear Rob speak. If you don't know how to get to Hillmont, just Google Hillmont Camp in White Bluff. It's very easy to find. And then this afternoon, what time is the shower? 3:30. We're having a shower for Presley and Zach. And in a roundabout way for Lynn too, right? Because everything they give, you don't have to buy, Grandpa. So that's we're very excited for you guys. Having a girl, does the girl have a name yet? Tinley? Tinley Douglas? Middle name? Tinley K. Douglas. That's awesome. Cool. Any last minute requests? Things that you really, really need? Where's that? Bass Pro Shop gift cards. Is that what I heard you say? All right. Ephesians chapter number 5. We left off last time considering our biblical command to be filled with the Spirit. And from this should spring up joy and thanksgiving and submission to one another. And we're in a new section today, but Paul continues along that same line of thought. So let's begin reading in Ephesians 5, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful that in your word you have taught us not only that Christ loved the church, we the church, and gave himself for it. What a sacrificial love that was. But you also teach us here about the home and how that what Christ has done for us as the church is illustrative of how we should do for each other in the home. So Lord, as we consider this today, help us to take what is here for us from your word and apply it to our living, how we live out our lives as Spirit-filled believers. Holy Spirit, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I am convinced that as the home goes, so goes the church. There are a lot of issues in the modern church. If you begin to start making a list, it wouldn't be hard for you to say, well, the modern church is not doing this right, and the modern church is not doing that right, and the modern church could do this just a little bit better. But in reality, you're here with me gathering as the church for an hour to three a week, but you're at your home minimally 8 hours a day sleeping. Usually it's more like 12 or more. And then you're at your job, which is just a reflection of your home. So the church in reality is nothing more than a reflection of the families who make that up. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about Paul's instruction as he finishes his letter to the Ephesian church about the church and the home. And today we get into the role of husbands and the role of wives. I'm convinced if we get the role of husbands and the role of wives right, then the role of rearing the children will go smoothly, and then the church will function and operate as biblically intended. Spirit-filled believers, Paul tells us here in these concluding verses from chapter 5, verse 22, down through the end of chapter number 6, Spirit-filled believers will be in submission in three key areas of the Christian life. Wives to their husbands, children to their parents, and then servants to their masters, or employees to their employers. James Boyce says here, the Spirit-filled life is not to be measured merely by one's private morality or even by one's private spiritual experience, but how one conducts himself or herself with other persons. So we begin this study on the church and the home today, considering the role of wives and the role of husbands. And all the while, Paul is mixing this with, how is this relating to the church? So we begin in verse 22 with the role of wives. A wife is to be subject to her husband as she is to the Lord. Notice what he says there. Chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, before we get into what this does mean, let me make clear what this does not mean. This does not mean that a wife submits to her husband in the same way and to the same degree as she does to the Lord. If anybody is submitting to anyone else the same way they submit to the Lord, what do we have on our hands? Idolatry. We are not to be idol worshipers. We are to worship the one true God. So this is not what Paul is saying here. The other issue that you could have there is any husband, ladies, I'm going to let you have a roaring time for an amen here, is any husband on the face of the earth perfect? Y'all are so sweet. So her husband might purposefully or even indirectly lead her to sin or ask her to obey God. So this does not mean that she submits to her husband in the same way and to the same degree as she does to the Lord. Rather, Paul's instruction is that the wife serves the Lord by having a submissive heart to her husband. We live in a society, ladies, that is teaching you that you should find purpose in every other area of life than that one. That you need a platform. That you need a ministry. That you need a blog, that you need a career, that you need to find purpose outside of the biblical standard for finding your purpose. The number one purpose that God gives ladies in the scriptures is to be a help to the man who obviously needs help. God created man. He said it's not good for this dude to be alone. I don't know what Adam was doing in the garden, but God said he needs a wife. Somewhere along the line, the world, the flesh, the devil has convinced us that this is demeaning to ladies, that it is not good for ladies, and that they should be doing something other than this. So much so that women almost have to apologetically say, oh, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Shame on society. Praise God for the situations where mama can just stay home. Where mama can just be a wife to her husband. And I know that's not everybody's situation, and that's not everybody's inclination, but I'm just saying that is not a secondary thing in life. Biblically, that's a primary thing in life. What are we all trying to achieve in our careers? We're all trying to get it to where we can afford to do what? Stay home. So Paul's instruction here, ladies, is that your primary ministry, your platform, What should your blog be about? What should you write books about and try to get Lifeway to publish them? It's about being submissive toward your husband. And then your secondary purpose, and we'll get to this next time, is your ministry to your children. Paul's instruction is that women serve the Lord by having a submissive heart toward their husband. And this is in obeying him as long as it does not require her to disobey the Lord. I want to quote you John Calvin and John MacArthur here. John Calvin says, not that the authority is equal, the submission to the Lord, the submission to the husband, but wives cannot obey Christ without yielding obedience to their husbands. That is clear in Scripture. MacArthur notes here, the command is unqualified, applying to every Christian wife, no matter what her own abilities, education, knowledge of Scripture, spiritual maturity, or any other qualifications might be in relation to those of her husband. The submission is not the husband's to command, but for the wife to willingly and lovingly offer. Ladies, whatever you're sitting there thinking right now about your reason to disobey this command in Scripture, we're going to get to him in just a minute. But for you right now, the command is clear. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. And the understanding there is clear. You can't be in submission to the Lord if you're not in submission to your husbands. And guys, yes, I do see you sitting there grinning. Get her. Every one of you men in here is like, yeah, tell her. We're getting to you in just a minute, boys. The reason the wife is called upon to be in subjection to her husband is that biblically speaking, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. That's verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, for he is the Savior of the body. Now, let me tell you an exegetical trap you can fall into here. You're reading and interpreting Scripture. Society has made it popular and cool to say, well, this was Paul's instruction to a church at a different time and a different culture, and our culture is different, so this is antiquated theology. I'll tell you two things about that. Number one, is there a such thing as antiquated theology? No. And the second thing, around here we have a little saying, if it's new, oh, I haven't driven this home well enough. If it's new, it's not true. This is the Word of God. We believe the Word of God to be inspired by God's Holy Spirit. We believe the Word of God to be infallible and without error. And we believe this is the plenary Word of God. This is all of it. It's all that we need to know. You want to hear from God? Get in His Word. And in God's Word, He has made clear here that we should submit to one another. And the first way Paul illustrates this is for wives to submit to their husbands, their own husbands. Wives, you have this tendency to submit to every other male authority in your life but your husband, and to buck your husband. You'll submit to me as the pastor. You'll submit to your boss at work. You'll submit to the authority in your local government, police, whatever it may be, and just be rude toward your husband. Paul doesn't even address all of that. He says, you submit to your own husbands. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ has appointed the same relation to exist between a husband and a wife as Christ has set up between himself and the church. As the church is to be subject to Christ, so the wife is to be subject to her husband. And this subjection does not mean inferiority. If anything, ladies, my opinion is that God made you superior. He made man, and he said, that was version 1.0. I'm going to make version 2.0, and he made woman. Dudes, this is where you're like, yeah! Let me try that one again. He made man, and then he made something better, and he called it woman. Dude, guys! I'm throwing you softballs. You could get brownie points. She'll put her hand on your leg in church. But you got to say amen right there. My goodness. What are we doing, Brother Scotty? This objection does not mean inferiority. It's clear in Scripture that male and female are both created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. They're both created in God's image. Furthermore, it's clear that in Christ, where our personal worth is found, where our personal worth is concerned, that all are one. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul writes here, and this can be confusing as you read it, because he goes from the relationship of the husband and wife, the relationship of Christ, the relationship of the church, and he's like he's throwing doctrine in with the practice of the home, and we like to compartmentalize the two. This is what I believe, but this is what I do. But you're not able to do that. And so he says here at the end of this verse, he gives us this hierarchy. Christ is the head of the church, husbands are the head of the wives. And then he says, and he is the savior of the body. He is not talking there about the husband. The husband is not the savior of the wife's body. We want to be those heroes. I take a bullet for my wife, right, men? But what he is saying here is he's making this implication that as Christ rules over his church for her salvation, nothing yields more advantage or comfort to the wife than being subject to her husband. Same as for me to be saved in my relation with Christ, nothing yields me more comfort than realizing I did nothing to earn it. I did everything not to deserve it. But Jesus went to the cross and died for me and saved me anyways. That same comfort that the husband can have or the wife can have in their relationship with Christ, Paul is saying here, as Christ is the Savior of the body, wives, in subjection to your husbands, you will experience that same comfort in your day-to-day living. To refuse that subjection then, which is the same as the means by which we are saved. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not your Lord at all. To refuse that subjection, wives, is to choose destruction in your lives. Verse 24 then, in the overall scheme of things, God has placed all of us in different positions of authority and submission. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The man may be in authority at home, but he still has to be submissive at work. The woman may be in submission at home, and she might actually be the authority at work. The point is, all social order depends on people's willingness to work together and the ability to determine who is the head of certain endeavors. God's intention is that the husband be the head of the relationship with his wife. I had an instance a few years back. A wife came to me and said, I need to speak with you after church. And I said, fine, what are we talking about? Well, my husband and I are having an issue, and I want your opinion on it. I said, great, you bring your husband to my office right after church, and we'll talk. And she said, no, I don't want him to be in there. I said, then we're not going to talk. Why? Because, number one, I abide by the Mike Pence rule, the Billy Graham rule. Amen. Men, avoid the appearance of evil. So I'm not going to be with some lady who's not my wife in my office all alone. And my wife's so strict on that, she won't even be alone with me in my office. So she's more holy than I am. But the real reason there is, why would I sit down with a man and talk about the wife without the wife being there? Why would I sit down and talk with the wife about the husband without the husband being there? That's shameful. That's not righteous. It's not holy. It's not the correct way to do things. God has given us this system. He's given us this form. If we would abide by it, if we would all determine that we're going to go along and be together and realize that there are people who are head over certain endeavors, our lives would be so much more godly, so much more biblical. God's intention is that the husband be the head of the relationship with his wife, and nothing can more exalt the role of the wife than comparing it to the role of the church as the bride of Christ, which Paul does here. The church's submission is the pattern to be followed by the wife. She is to be subject in everything that is in accordance with the will of God. And certainly, No wife would be expected to obey her husband if he required her to compromise her loyalty to the Lord Jesus. But in all the normal relationships of life, the wife is to be in subjection to, submission to obey the husband. I'm going to read you James Boyce here. I like how he ends his section on these verses in his commentary. He says, "No good woman, indeed hardly any woman at all, wants a man she can boss around. She wants a man she can look up to, whose judgment she can respect, and whose leadership she can respond to. If she does not get this in her man, she feels cheated. What wives really want is a man who will rule them and their home, gently and with love, to be sure, but rule them nevertheless." Which brings us to the role of husbands. Verse 25 then says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." Husbands are to love their wives so completely and so righteously that the wife need never fear or suffer from her life of submission to her husband. God established marriage for many reasons. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. Marriage meets man's emotional needs. God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." Genesis 1:28. Marriage has a social purpose in the bearing of children to continue the race. God blessed them. He said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea," etc. So marriage meets emotional need. Marriage has a social purpose in bearing children. Paul indicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that marriage had a physical purpose to help man and woman fulfill the normal desires given them by God. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." It's well said. Let him that has ears to hear, hear. In Ephesians, Paul teaches the spiritual purpose in marriage as the husband and the wife experience with each other the submission and the love of Christ. So we have the physical reason. We have the emotional reason. We have the social reason. But here in the book of Ephesians, we have the spiritual reason for marriage. Husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, how did Christ love the church? It was a sacrificial love. He gave himself for his bride, the church. Jesus dedicated his life to the establishment of the church, to the welfare of the church. And he ultimately gave his life for the church. To that degree and in that quality, the husband is to love his wife. He is to give himself up for her. He is to dedicate his life to the physical, emotional, and spiritual welfare of his wife. Following the example of Christ, husbands are to give wives not only all that he has, but also all that he is. When a husband loves his wife this completely, the wife will never struggle with submission. Paul goes on in verse 26 then to extend the picture of Christ in the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Christ loved the church not only with a sacrificial love, but also with a sanctifying love. Christ loved the church to make it holy, so that he might cleanse it. He loved the church to set it apart for himself. He did this by the washing with water through the word. Baptism, the washing of water, symbolizes publicly that profession of the inward washing of the word through the Holy Spirit. Paul is writing here then of the cleansing that the Holy Spirit brings to the soul through repentance after hearing the word of God. Jesus said in John 15:3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Applying water to our outside, to our physical body, can have no effect whatsoever on the spiritual cleansing that it takes for us to be holy. Through repentance, though, the water of the word reaches the innermost recesses of our souls, cleansing us and making us holy. And we symbolize that outwardly with baptismal waters. Paul writes here how this is illustrative of the sanctifying love Christ has for the church, then that forms for us an example of the sanctifying love that a husband should have toward his wife. Man, your love relationship with your wife should be causing her to be more holy. And we fail in this area, men, because we ourselves either don't want to be or are not attempting to be holy ourselves. The result of sacrificial love and the result of sanctifying love, verse 27 says, is that the church is glorious, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No spots, no wrinkles, holy, without blemishes. Husbands, love your wives like this. Paul writes as if your love will have that sanctifying influence on your wife. Your wife will experience personal benefit, personal progress as a result of your love toward her. She's never going to be perfect, but she will become more than she would have otherwise when you love her as Christ loved the church. Amen, men? We say amen, and then we need to ask the question, well, how? Thanks for telling me, guy, that I need to do this, but how can I do this? Verse 28. Paul makes it very simple because that's how we need it, men. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, or he that loveth his wife loveth himself. How do we achieve this love? You love your wife like you love you. He goes on in verse 29 and 30 to say, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Even though the husband lives in an imperfect body, he loves it, he nourishes it, he cherisheth it. Would a man in here, one of you men here, tell me, what are you having for lunch today? What are you having, Daryl? Smoked ribs. Can anybody beat that, men? Daryl's got us all. What are you having, Brent? He raised his hand. I didn't know if he knew. But men, it's pretty common for us to have already thought this through at this point in the day. Because we like meat. And we like to feed ourselves meat. And we pretty much know what we're going to do in our leisure time this afternoon because we don't have to go to work. And then we know we got to go to work tomorrow, but we have this motivation inside of our minds. I will get up and I will go to work and I will do what I have to do because it means I can bring home money and I like to have this money because I can buy the things that I like to have. I don't know who said money can't buy happiness. That guy was an idiot. Everything money ever buys me makes me pretty happy. And even as I get older, like I one time bought a new septic tank. I was the happiest dude in the community. And it was just a septic tank. You know, one of my favorite things to buy every month, I have an alert on my phone, and it says it's the first of the month, it's time to change your air filter. So I go down to the hardware store, and I say hello to Andy, and I get myself some air filters, and I go home, and I take the old dirty ones out, and I put the clean ones in. I just feel like I can breathe fresh air now. I couldn't buy those air filters if I didn't have money. I know what I'm going to eat. I know what I'm going to do. At least I think I do. I have these plans. I have these ambitions. I have stuff that I'm after in life in the short term, in the long term, because I'm a man and I like myself and I want to do these things for myself. Paul says, men, that same pride you take in your own state of being and who you are as a person, you should take, if not more, at least that much pride in your relationship with your wife. Just as much as you're considerate of yourself, what you want, what you like, what you want to eat, where you want to go, how you want to live, you should carry on that same kind of attention in your relationship with your wife. That's how we can achieve such love. Love our wives as we love our own bodies. Oh, we groom it, and we feed it. I like the joke. You know, these guys, they lift weights. If you lift weights, more power to you. I lift ribs. Amen, Daryl? Somebody said, man, you need to get in shape. And I heard somebody else say, well, I am in shape. Round is a shape. I said, amen, that is good right there. And somebody said, boy, it's hard to stay in this kind of shape. I said, well, it's pretty hard to stay in this kind of shape, too. I have to eat a lot. The indigestion is rough. Sometimes it keeps me up at night. But I put in the time and the effort to look as good as I do, honey. Now, a kid, but we understand the implication there. We put a lot of work into our state of existence. And Paul says, how can I love my wife as Christ loved the church? Well, you love her as much as you love you. He said, because I've never met the man who hated himself, who hated his own flesh. But all men, they nourish it, they cherish it. That's how Christ loves the church. Then in verse 24, or verse 31, he quotes from Genesis 2:24. Verse 31, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Paul is not only giving support material to what he's just said, he's also establishing here an Old Testament and New Testament pattern, an Old Covenant, New Covenant pattern, that the husband and the wife are to become one flesh. So this is to be a sacrificial love. This is to be a sanctifying love. But this is also to be a mutually satisfying love. There shouldn't be one side or the other to this. These two have become one flesh. And men, just let me clue you in here. And ladies, I guess this is applicable to you as well. The way that Genesis told us this should happen, the way that the book to the Ephesians told us this should happen, is that you leave your father and your mother. One of the biggest steps ever missed in the marriage relationship, it affects your marriage, it affects your home, it affects how you raise your children, it affects the gathering of the church that you attend, is when a husband or a wife will not give themselves more to their spouse than they do to their parents. And that's a hard step to take because you've been with those parents your whole life. They've taught you everything you know. They taught you your value systems. They taught you how to walk. And then you're to abandon them. Full on abandon them. You see, I'm trying to get away from my mother-in-law here this morning. Sorry, Aunt Redonda. You're to abandon them. I love you too. You're to abandon them for your spouse. So as much as you love mama, men, you're to love wife that much more. Mothers, when your sons go get married, I imagine that is hard. We haven't gotten there yet, but I have that yet to come, and some of you are going to have to console my wife and I when that day comes. But this is the biblical model. Parents, you can help out in this regard. When John or Jane go off and get married, and they have a fight with their spouse, and they want to call you over at the house and say, you won't believe what he did to me. You won't believe what she said to me. You say, I'm not having this conversation with you. Click. Now, I don't have children that age yet. Some of you do. Can you confirm that for me? Any amens? Or are we denying that one? Do you stick your nose in the newlyweds' business, or do you leave them alone? You got to leave them alone. They shouldn't have called you to start with. It's not biblical. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother to be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Paul closes then in verse 32 by restating that the relationship between the wife and the husband is like the relationship between Christ and the church. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. As a wife is to her husband, so Christ is to the church. When Paul says the mystery is great here, he does not mean great in the sense of it being very mysterious. That's not how Paul uses the word we translate into the English as mystery here. He means that the implications of the truth are tremendous. This mystery that is now revealed, the implications of that truth are very tremendous implications. The mystery is the wonderful purpose with which God has hidden in the previous ages, but now he has revealed these things. And that purpose is to call out of the nations a people to become the body, to become the bride of his glorious son. We've termed that the church. The marriage relationship thus finds its perfect example in relation between Christ and the church. What should my relationship with my spouse look like? It should look like your relationship with Christ. Therefore, do not be yoked up together with unbelievers. If you're looking for a spouse, the church is the place to look. The places of the world are not going to lead you to someone who is like you. And you'll never have the relationship of Christ in the church married to an unbeliever. Some of you are at this moment, and we pray heavily for your spouse to be saved. I'm speaking to those who are unmarried right now. Find a believer. Find someone who knows Jesus. Find someone who's in a day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus Christ, and they'll treat you as good as they treat Jesus and Jesus treats them. This is Paul's understanding here. Wives, you may question, how should I treat my husband? You should be just as submissive to him as you would Jesus Christ. Husbands, how much should I love my wife? You should love her as much as Jesus loved the church. That man could perform miracles. He had a great following. He was very popular. His own followers said, no, don't go to death. Go to the throne. And he laid down his life, nevertheless, for the church. Men, that should be our mentality. Verse 33 is the conclusion. He says, just as a review, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we have a one-sentence summary of what Paul has been saying all along to the husbands and the wives. To the husbands, the concluding admonition is this: let each one of you without exception love his wife as himself. Not merely as you might love yourself, but in recognition of the fact that she is one with you. And to the wives, the word is, see that you continually respect and obey your husband. I want us to consider as our response this morning, what would happen if these divine instructions were widely followed by Christian people today? I think there would be no strife. There would be no separation. There would be no divorce. Our homes would not be contentious places. In fact, our homes would be an oasis. They would be foretastes of heaven here on earth. And can you imagine if our homes were foretastes of glory, what that means the gathering of the church would look like? How different would it be? Let's stand and pray. Father, time and again, we thank you for just how matter of fact and clear your word is to us. Forgive us that we overcomplicate it. Forgive us that we disobey it. Forgive us that we justify within ourselves, well, I would, but I can't because of this. And help us today to humble ourselves before you and say, okay, Lord, this is what you told me to do, and it's what I'm going to do my best to do. With the Holy Spirit empowering me, with him as the wind that fills my sails, I will be moved along the surface of this water like a boat in relation to my spouse. God, help us to prove you in this, to be the worldwide example of this is what a church looks like when the homes that make it up are living in relation to each other as Jesus does to the church. Oh, Father, help us to be serious in this time, to be submissive in this time, to be all in, 100% given to the word in this particular area. Bless this time of response, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.